Where we're going with it is to really take our networks, really apply those workflow solutions, ours and others, and really draw in that data and provide the analytics. And there's no shortage of opportunity. So I think, quite frankly, it's a fantastic industry to be in.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Lindsay. Lindsay, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks very much, Tom. Very happy to be here. My name is Lindsay Sutton, and I'm the Chief Strategy Officer for ProAgrica. And very quickly, what ProAgrica is it's a business that international in its reach. And what we do is we serve the agriculture and the animal health industry, various segments within that industry that I can talk more about later, with data solutions, essentially data enabled solutions, so connectivity and a variety of decision support tools and data analytics to really help them improve efficiency and engagement and visibility and ultimately increase the effectiveness and the ultimate safety of the agri-food supply chain.
Cool. Now, Lindsay, you know, you can tell from my accent, as many people can, I'm sure, that I'm originally from Ireland.
Yeah.
My father had an interest in a farm. He was a quarter owner of a farm. All my family come from farms. I grew up around farms. You know, when you think of agriculture, you don't necessarily, or I don't anyway, necessarily think about connectivity, about data, about computers even, although I'm sure that's changed an awful lot since my time back in Ireland on farms. But tell me, what's the status of farms and technology today?
Well, you're quite right. The focus is on farms. We get much of our revenue from those parts of the agricultural supply chain who manufacture the inputs that are ultimately used on farm and who distribute those inputs, whether those are crop inputs or animal health pharmaceuticals or what have you. But we do have commercial relationships with farmers as well. But it's really all about the farm, ultimately. Everybody, whether it's those selling to farmers or whether it's those seeking to buy better produce from farmers with better evidence of good production practices, the food processors, the food manufacturers, the food retailers, us, all of these actors in the supply chain are waking up increasingly to the idea that farms need help and farms need to be able to understand what good looks like. And that can be about what to put in the ground, agronomic advice, which chemical products to spray, which not to spray and when, what seed varieties to use, what are the best and proven animal health outcomes from a particular perhaps vaccination regime that might be being recommended by vets. So there's a lot of data increasingly on farms these days. It's not the farms that I knew when I was a boy. These are farms that have, you know, really sophisticated bits of kit that in themselves are producing, you know, a huge amount of data. And I mentioned, you know, earlier, some of the input manufacturers who are creating, you know, the crop protection products or the seed varieties or the animal health pharmaceuticals, those people also have a lot of data and they have a need for data and they need to be able to bridge that gap between what goes on farm and the implications of what goes on farm for their own strategies in terms of product development and being able to advise properly on the better use of growing techniques and animal husbandry techniques as well, which has an implication downstream as well. So everybody is really recognizing up and down the supply chain that the more that we're able to make good use of the data, which is already being generated, unfortunately sitting in silos much of the time, but the recognizing that the generation of the data is one thing. It's the transmission of that data and importantly the analysis of that data that's really going to give them the insights to help farmers do what they want them to do, produce better yields, produce healthier, safer food. And that's to the benefit of the farmer, but to everyone, including the consumer.
Okay, and so is there not a producer of this analytics that the farmers require, or are there? Is that coming, or where? What's the status of that right now?
Well, there are various data collection tools, if you like, that are being used around the world. If you're talking about at the farm level by the farmer, and ProAgrica has a number of those that we do provide to farmers. We've also got the ability to be able to draw in some of that data from other platforms that we don't necessarily own as well. The reality is that there might be a proliferation of farm management software platforms being used around the world. We run into the same problem with that, though, is the interoperability of these systems with other data ingestions and data collecting systems. You know, systems just do not talk to each other. And that's a problem, not just, you know, with the variety of things that are being used on farm, but this is a problem for trading challenges and for all sorts of challenges right across the supply chain, really. It's about these disconnected systems. And so where we started, really, in terms of our digital expertise some years ago, was in being able to provide those digital tools for farmers to be able to connect, to collect that data about what they're doing and to be able to evidence some of what they're doing for regulatory purposes, chiefly. But really what we've extended our vision and what we've acquired since then, really, is a number of capabilities and businesses that has allowed us to essentially create a network of data exchange so that we can be quite agnostic about the data sources that we ingest, so that data that is generated in one format, whether that's, you know, on farm or whether it's within an ERP system that an input manufacturer might use or an agricultural retailer or whatever, we're able to translate the data that's being generated by a whole number of systems through some of the proprietary technology that we've got, turn it into a lingua franca, if you like, and then send it out to its intended recipient in a language that they will understand. So that really, I think for the first time, we're seeing many instances now of actors who are enjoying the benefits of being able to understand better what is going on with their trading partners or even with those that they don't yet trade with but would like to trade with.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
Okay, and how are you getting the word out there to the different stakeholders that this actually exists and is of benefit to them?
Yeah, in different ways throughout different territories. So ProAgrica, just to set the scene, we've got operations in UK, mainland Europe, large operations in North America, South America as well, South Africa and Australia. And there are different solutions that we bring to bear right across the supply chain and with different emphases in different territories as well. An important segment of the industry, I think, is those who advise the farmers. So that's really important for us. Even though I said, you know, we started many years ago with direct relationships with farmers for farm management software, I think for us, it's been quite strategically important to say, okay, well, let's have a look at this ecosystem and let's have a look at who it is that the farmer actually trusts. Mm-hmm. Who is the trusted advisor of that farmer? And very often for cropping farming, it's It's the agronomic advisor. And the agronomic advisor needs the, you know, the right digital tools and increasingly the right algorithms to be able to intelligently take some of the information that they're collecting, like soil sample information, topography information, previous yields and, you know, planning and planting data and all this kind of stuff, and really come up with a recommendation that the farmer can trust that meets the farmer's needs. And that could be about yield and profitability, increasingly also about sustainability and meeting the farmer's customer needs downstream. I touched upon food safety, et cetera. So our strategy has been to really help those who seek to advise the farmer. And that can be ag-retailers with agronomy divisions. It can be independent agronomists. It can, in many cases, be some of the input manufacturers themselves seeking direct engagement with farmers, and also some of the downstream food companies as well. We help them with the intelligent data collecting recommendation tools that allow for those recommendations to take place, for that farm data to ultimately come back into that ecosystem, and for that to be self-generating in terms of its ultimate value to the farmers and beyond.
Okay, now we know that, you know, people in general are resistant to change. What is the biggest driver for farmers to move to a more data-based system? You know, one that, where they're looking at data and analytics and making decisions based on that. Is it, you know, the promise of greater yields, or what's the, there isn't a burning platform per se, so why would they move?
Yeah, and I think it depends on the type of farming as well, right? So clearly, if you're rearing animals, there's an animal welfare concern. There's a productivity concern. If you're raising crops, it might be row crops that you're doing, you know, many of which go into animal feed actually, or it could be food crops, you know, some of the horticultural your lettuces and your tomatoes and all the rest of it. And so there are different levels of emphasis in terms of how compliant a farmer might need to be in terms of what they're doing with those crops. And certainly there's an increasingly big focus on making sure that sustainability, water conservation, and you know, the judicious application of chemicals, food safety being an imperative, is really important, and especially for food crops. So some of those, you know, what we call specialty crops sometimes, but essentially food crops, where there's a much narrower route between production and consumption. That's quite important. So the farmers have really got to prove increasingly to regulators, and regulation differs in different regions of the world to different extents, but the sense of direction is the same. Mm. Regulation is increasingly demanding more traceability right back to the farmer. What is it that they did? How did they grow that food? Is it safe? Did they apply this particular suspect chemical within a 2-week window pre-harvest, for instance? You know, it's the granularity of the data which is being seen now by a lot of farmers as not only important to be precise in their growing methods in order to maximize yield, but because there's increasing call for evidence from their customers and ultimately from consumers, there's a lot of consumer pressure as well to understand how things are grown. Then farmers are increasingly seeing, you know, I have the means to collect this data. I can see the means by which that data can be transported. I know that I'm a good actor and I'm doing the right things, and I want to increasingly do better. That's the state that they're in now, you know. And and so we're seeing really a snowball effect in terms of the amount of acres which are generating data and the amount of interest and evidence that's being required by those surrounding the farm.
Super, great. And, you know, who's doing this already?
Well, many. I mean, I won't talk about, you know, specifically. There's a whole bunch of different farm types, and, you know, of every farm type you can think of, you know, they are doing it to various degrees. Again, I think some of the imperatives are coming from the food manufacturers, the food retailers. There's some downstream consumer pressure, but that's taking some of that imperative back upstream to the advisors, to some of the agronomic advisors, to the input manufacturers as well. And this is why, Tom, I see, I don't like looking at this as a supply network. It's very easy to look at the supply chain and think, oh, okay, it's linear. So you've got manufacturers of inputs, right? Your seeds and your crop protections and fertilizers. Then you've got those who sell them and distribute them and advise. And then you've got the farmers. And then you've got the food processors and manufacturers and retailers and the consumers. That's the linear supply chain. But with data, what we're seeing is we're seeing the real emergence of a supply network. And it's essentially because data can flow in many directions, not just the flow of goods in a linear supply chain, but data can flow in so many directions that you're seeing some of the requirements that governments and some of the companies that are closer to the end consumer, some of those requirements can be not just expressed through a connected network of activity, but they can be measured. They can be understood and measured, and tools in order to measure and recommend against those requirements are created and used by the advisors and the farmers as well, increasingly. And so some of those requirements that were downstream now can actually be made real. And so the upstream people who are manufacturing the inputs can go, oh, I see where things are going now. I understand that the products I need to create need to meet these sustainability criteria. The agronomic advisors know not just to serve their own customer, which is the grower, but they know what it is that the grower needs to do in order to satisfy their customers. So there's this increasing digital conversation where requirements and intelligence and the need for evidence is being shared right across that network. And so that's essentially where we come in, because we our role here is not to provide advice. It's to enable those who wish to provide advice and have better informed digital conversations to have that digital conversation take place. It's about our position really in terms of underpinning that industry through the technology that we have to be able to allow the data to flow with the right workflow tools to be able to enact upon some of the things that need to happen to raise the bar. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So you're kind of like a network layer for agricultures. Is that it?
Yes, I think so. I see it as underpinning essentially the industry. I mean, we're not there to disrupt. We're there to digitally enable, and we're there really to underpin those parts of the industry that increasingly want to trade more efficiently, have more visibility, and be able to have more evidence so that they can make the right decisions about, you know, who should I be sourcing my products from? How can I do that, you know, with more productivity, you know, more efficiency, more profitability? How can I achieve better customer loyalty by being able to evidence that what I'm doing is the right thing for you as a customer? Yeah. So all of those business imperatives really are underpinned by the ability to transfer data from Peter to Paul. And that's essentially what our role is.
And who are your customers?
So we have a whole range of customers ranging from a lot of farmers that I mentioned in the first place. Very, very strong upstream. We've got we've created a very large network, actually, that encompasses the input manufacturers that I spoke about earlier. That's the fertilizer, the seeds, the crop protections, the animal health pharmaceutical manufacturers, their distributors and ag retail. So a really large landscape of distribution there, many of which are connected to our network. So they're able to enjoy some of the transaction data management solutions and the trading efficiencies and that visibility and being able to trade with each other directly. And then, of course, we also bridge that gap between the advisors and the farmers as well. So we're really prominent upstream with designs downstream in the near future as well.
So essentially everyone in the ecosystem is your customer potentially.
Yes, absolutely. Because everything really does If you boil it all down, it's all about two networks, essentially, when you think about it, or two sides. But I call it two networks. It's a supply chain network where you've got that trading efficiency and all those data flows and the visibility about, you know, all of those trading related decisions that happen. But also one of the things that we did when we acquired an American business back in 2018 is we acquired a really sophisticated geospatial network, which essentially has mapped at a very granular postcard size level the geospatial farming landscape, starting in North America but going beyond. So we've got a way for data to not just be generated at a precision geospecific place, but we can store layers and layers and layers of data, right, identifiable to subfield level, very subfield level, you see. So you can then apply some really interesting analysis to say, okay, well, has this production method yielded what it was supposed to yield? Why not? Is that a factor of soil composition? Is it a factor of application rate? Is it a factor of seed volume? How do changing and moving some of these levers affect profitability? How do I ensure that I'm meeting my sustainability criteria, for instance? So being able to be precise using that geospatial ability that we have, and then clearly I call it a geospatial network, being able to then harvest that data to be able to have others engage with that data on a geospatial basis, that's the key. So it's two networks, really. It's about trading efficiency, if you like, in terms of one network. And then it's about that geospatial evidencing. Those two things combined are really powerful and underpin a whole bunch of solutions that, you know, we're currently taking to a bunch of different customers.
Fascinating to see the agricultural world being digitized as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it's vast.
Yeah, and if we just think in terms of climate, it's responsible for close to 30% of climate emissions. So if we can digitize it and make it more efficient, that should have an impact there.
Massive, yes, absolutely. And there's a lot. I mean, this isn't an overnight task, right? I mean, this, and various countries are at various speeds and various segments and various customers, but the direction of travel is unstoppable. And, you know, when you prove what good looks like, then, you know, you get a really good domino effect as a result. And it's a massively, it's almost silly to call it one industry. It's a collection of industries, but with a common purpose. And just ignoring, you know, cotton and things for a moment, you know, but for food mainly, you know, whether it's human consumption or animal consumption, but you know, growing food is of a concern to us all. And so making sure that everybody that's involved in that food chain, making sure that they have at their disposal the right tools, the right ability to properly engage with each other and have those proper grown-up business discussions, but also the discussions that are increasingly being demanded of them from governments and, you know, and consumers. I mean, that's something that you cannot achieve on a point-to-point basis where individual companies, you know, only get there by creating their own initiatives. There has to be an independent third party that is able to take this, what in reality is a massively fragmented ecosystem of data, and bring it all together.
Okay, Lindsay, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now. Is there any question I've not asked you that you wish I had, or any topic we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
No, I think we covered much of what I thought was important to cover. I mean, look, in terms of what's going on, just to put in ProAgrica to one side for a moment, there's a lot of heat in this market in terms of digitization of agriculture and animal health, and there are a lot of solutions out there, and this is a good thing. This isn't, you know, I'm not viewing that as a competitive threat or anything of that sort, because the industry has recognized that it needs to be able to collect data, it needs to be able to understand what that data means for them. But what doesn't happen with these individual solutions, which are usually very good at doing one thing, is it doesn't have the effect of connecting the industry together and making good sense up and down the supply chain. Now, that's where we come in. And we have solutions that are competitive to some of the other things out there. But I think what makes ProAgrica unique is that it's our vision to really underpin the industry, you know, to go beyond just the narrow focus of some of the solutions that we have, but to be able to be as agnostic as possible and to be able to liaise, which we do, with other solutions that we don't own, so that, you know, we're there for the industry as a whole. And so all of these things which are happening are helping the industry go in the right direction. But where we're going with it is to really take our networks, really apply those workflow solutions, ours and others, and really draw in that data and provide the analytics. And there's no shortage of opportunity. So I think, quite frankly, it's a fantastic industry to be in.
Super, super. Great, Lindsay. That's been really, really interesting. If people want to know more about yourself or ProAgrica or any of the things we talked about in the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
You can find me on LinkedIn. So just search for me there, and I'll get back to you with any questions if you want to engage with me on LinkedIn, or you can go to our website, which is quite simply proagrica.com. So that's where you'll get a lot of information and use cases. And if anyone wants to follow up directly with me, I'd be more than happy.
Excellent. Lindsay, fantastic. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you very much, Tom. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.